Do you believe we're going to implement the draft?
Don't know. The military at the moment has been against that. We're headed towards, there's another phase in that paper we mentioned earlier, because I talk about three kinds of war in the future.
And I want to go through all of those, yeah.
Yeah, well, one of those overt war, and we're used to that, but the one that I talk about that I think is new is, you know, this notion of we're going to basically have mercenaries, and we're doing that in some pretty unique ways now. I went back and looked at how did we reconstruct Europe and Japan at the end of World War II, and the approach to it is very different than what we have now, bringing in contractors. I'll argue that, for instance, the casualties, people can tell you we have, forget the exact number at the moment, 800 and some fatalities that have occurred, but that's only U.S. troops. But you've also lost A, coalition forces, and B, a number of contractors as well. In reality, those contractors were doing jobs that in the past would have been done by the military. But we just don't...
Building bridges, fixing infrastructure, things like that.
Well, as an example, when I was in Afghanistan, I was there as a contractor, and as I mentioned, being a mentor to the Minister of Defense and the senior folks. Traditionally, those would have been military people. Now, everybody who was there were entire, you know, they were all retired colonels. But by hiring us to do that job, it meant that the colonels who are currently on active duty, you didn't need. But I think this whole notion of outsourcing war is something that's coming, and it's you know, some issues that have not been thought about yet. You got large multinational companies. As I say, we have changed the view of the you know, bloodthirsty mercenary to now elite master craftsmen.
Well, what if you have, for example, a publicly held company whose performance is merely to go out and fight wars, and they get contracts from governments? Possible?
It exists. This started with, best known was Executive Outcomes out of South Africa. And these sorts of things are already, it's already happening. And this is what I'm arguing is, I think, in the future, you're going to see more of it and very sophisticated. Now, the legal and ethical responsibilities attendant to these are very different. I heard a guy today talk about, he was a contractor who had come back. He'd been driving a truck in Iraq. He'd been attacked on the road, and he said this guy tried to jump in his cab with him, and he had a knife, and he had a sitting next to him was a hammer. He said he hit the guy in the head and killed him. Now, what is, you know, his legal position at that point? We have status of forces agreement, you know, that covers soldiers. Certainly he has, by our definition, a right to self-defense, but, you know, he killed a local citizen who arguably was attacking to him, but is he protected? By whom? Under what set of laws?
Mm-hmm. Are there any laws?
Well, I mean, we can argue that there are certain international laws, and I think that's very flimsy to be basing these things on. But we've had, you know, we've got a lot of contractors in Iraq who have been killing folks. And set aside the issue of were they involved in the prison in interrogations and all that. I mean, that raises a whole other set of questions.
Do you think Nicholas Berg, the person beheaded, was one of those?
No, I think he was a poor, unfortunate soul and who
wrong place
happened
at
to
the
be
wrong
Jewish
thing.
And was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
John, let's talk, if we can, for a moment about the kind of weaponry that's being used. You are, of course, an expert in non-lethal weaponry. Do we have the equipment now ready to do what we need to do, and that is to fight these wars and get it done in a high technological way?
I'm going to give you a qualified yes. Now, one of the big issues that is being debated and very hotly debated right now is the notion that, are the vehicles that are in the country sufficiently armored for the missions that they're undertaking? And also, we went to a wheeled vehicle concept. And some will argue that it's the wheels that are vulnerable, and once you, you know, stop a vehicle, then you can kill it by other means. And so a lot of controversy over this new Striker Force. Some will argue that it is very high-tech and very effective. Some will say we should have put treads on them because they would be inherently, you know, stronger in these combat situations. Having said that, a lot of the situations that you're in, it's just not appropriate to go out with tanks when you're trying to do nation building or rebuilding in this case. I can tell you when I'll go back to my Afghan experience, we drove in SUVs. By the way, I was unarmed. Although the American troops that went out were always armed, always wear body armor, but completely vulnerable. I mean, if an attack was going to take place, you were going to get hit. That's just the way it was. And it's, in a way, what is going to be, I think, the norm in future conflicts.